Sunstone does not necessarily endorse the opinions expressed in these presentations, nor the character of the presenters. Presenters must follow Sunstone's code of conduct, available online at bit.ly/sunstoneconduct. Those who violate it are thereafter banned from Sunstone events. Since this session was recorded, multiple people reported having been sexually abused by panelist Tom Kimball. To provide opportunities to learn from the past and to keep the historical record intact, Sunstone will continue to make this session available. For more information, visit sunstone.org/connect/news. If you or someone you know has experienced sexual assault, call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Sunstone Session 253, the well-titled Oh My Heck, Don't Tell Anyone You Haven't Read That Book. I'm Matt Bowman, I am the chair of this session, and we are privileged to hear today from three fascinating people. Tom Kimball will be presenting first. He's been employed by many, many different Mormon book publishers, is now, of course, affiliated with Signature Books, and he also is a book review editor for the Journal of Mormon History. Wow, this says here he recently considered cutting his hair, which I cannot imagine. he will address us first for 20 to 25 minutes. Then after him, we will hear for 10 minutes each from Margaret Blair Young, the amazing Margaret Blair Young, who teaches at BYU. Award-winning novelist, essayist, and playwright, and recently was involved in the production of perhaps the best Mormon documentary ever made. After her, we will hear from Mike Atha, who is a conservator and a bookbinder. He has worked in the LDS Church Archives and at Utah State University, and currently is a private book conservator. So, as soon as Tom is ready to go, we will hear from him.
I was saddened that my responder, Joe Geisner, had a family emergency and couldn't make it to Sunstone this year. Godspeed to Joe, and I hope that we see him next year. My little handout, it's my homemade piece. You'll know it's not Signature because of how unprofessional it's done. Excuse the typos I saw a few. The following presentation is not endorsed by Sunstone, Signature Books, or any of my former employees, associates, friends, competitors, or the shrinking number of family members who will talk books with me. Having said that, my opinion is just and true and correct, and I will defend them for the better part of an hour. I'm a collector of Mormon books. To me, a great Mormon book needs good content, is readable, is well designed or constructed in the craft of traditional and modern bookbinding. A paper book needs to be exceptional to make it to my list. Though there are some really great books that were poorly produced. I know that we can talk about this issue at some point, or I hope we can talk about the issue at some point in this discussion. I've also included some books, simply on the basis that they have a fun story or mystery behind them. I'll admit that I'm often more of a collector than a reader. As the old saying goes, so many books, so little time. But we are in the company of great readers at the present, and I hope that this is going to be fun. I'm also biased towards history, biography, books on books, and tend to collect authors that I like. I also enjoy a good story, fiction or otherwise, in, about, or surrounding a book. My vision for this session has admittedly evolved since I first wrote the abstract. I hope that you will find this session interesting, entertaining, and possibly a little disconcerting that you don't own some of these books. I prefer an open dialogue in this session. I am a student here. I'm interested in your top books as well. If you're passionate about some Mormon book, please chime in. Please have a pencil ready, and let's talk books. I've chosen as many as 5 books in any category. There are plenty of other interesting and important books in each category. There are these are usually my desert island all-time top 5 picks. Supposing we had the luxury to bring our library with us to a deserted desert island, these are the ones that I'd like to have. Why did I choose these particular topics? The answer is that these were the topics I was interested in. Sometimes I simply liked a book in my collection and found a category that fit it. As a quick side note, about the collectible books, I felt that the collectability of a book directly relates to the importance, uniqueness, or how interesting the content is, its aesthetics, if it has an unusual or an engaging story behind it, or surrounding the publication. Last but not least, supply and demand. I'm going to start with something I left off my bookmark, biographies. And I'm hoping that I can get you guys to engage me as part of my paper and say, Tom, you left this one out, and Tom, did you thought about this one? Just quickly, some of my favorites are Reva Stanley, An Archer in Paradise. I just like the dust jacket. I think it's cool. It's an important book. It's one of the very few real biographies of Parley P. Pratt. One of the things I really love about the dust jacket is on the back side of the dust jacket, it has advertisements for the other books. I just think it's a groovy piece. Mormon Enigma, I think, is a very important biography. I am going to talk about, in a minute, best autobiographies and best biographies on Joseph Smith. But in general, I think that Mormon Enigma had an amazing impact on the historians. And after the book came out, Mormon historians began speaking differently about Emma and aspects of Mormon history. I also like books, Hosea Stout's 2 volumes. I love the binding. Once again, the dust jackets. I like the fact that there's, when I was a kid, I remember seeing them on my dad's bookshelves, and if you put the two books up, it completes two-thirds of the man's face, and I always grew up thinking that the third volume would come out so they could complete the face. Addison Pratt's The Journals of Addison Pratt. I guess I should put that in journal, but Addison Pratt is interesting. He left to go on his mission before the temple ceremony, to the South Pacific before the temple ceremony was completed, and he came back to Utah, or came back to Mormonism after they'd arrived in Utah, and then when he got back, they wanted him to go on a mission again, and the temple wasn't finished, and he hadn't had his endowments, and so he refused to leave on his mission until he had his endowments, and so they said, okay, we'll meet us up on Ensign Peak up here. And when they got there, they acted out the temple ceremony, and all these really cool people were the characters of the temple. It's kind of a fun piece. David Hiram Smith's biography by
Val Avery,
University of Illinois. They did a limited hardback edition of it. It's an important piece. Anybody else? Favorite biographies?
A Consecrated Life by that guy over there, Floyd Peterson.
The Hunebe biography by a Consecrated Life. It actually was on my list. I cut it.
Neil Brinkhurst, Fawn Brody.
Fawn Brody by Neil Brinkhurst. Anybody else?
The book nobody's read.
The book nobody's read.
Always a cowboy.
That's right. Will Bagley. Yeah, you're in my paper, by the way. Pitching your own books.
I'm just curious if there's a good biography on Hiram Smith.
Hiram Smith.
No. Is there
been a couple.
Even a bad biography.
Yeah, there's been a couple of them. What are the titles? Hiram Smith.
Corbett.
Oh, that's right.
And there's that recent one, Hiram Smith, A Life of Integrity, or
Jeff
something.
Jeff Driscoll. Okay. All right. Okay. Moving along. Best biographies on Joseph Smith. That was my weak area, because I went through my list, and I've been talking to people about my list, and I always thought I'll get to my biography section at some point, and then today arrived and I haven't. So thank you for chiming in. Best biography on Joseph Smith. This was fun because I sent this around to people. And everyone immediately emailed me back and said, by the way, Tom, you left out No Man Knows My History. What was I thinking? Also, I really like the Evans biography of Joseph Smith. It's called Joe Smith the Prophet. I think it has a really groovy dust jacket. And when it first came out, it was the most scholarly piece up to date on Joseph Smith. Of course, you have to list Rough Stone Rolling by Bushman because of its influence and because it introduces people. It's a gentle introduction to all of the hard stuff, or a lot of the hard stuff in Mormon studies. And then my pick also was Joseph Smith, The Making of a Prophet by Dan Vogel. If you have something while I'm talking, just put your hand up and I'd love to hear your top biography.
Donahill,
Joseph Smith, The First Mormon by Donahill. What's that?
Lucy Mack Smith.
Biographical sketches by Lucy Mack Smith.
Not so much.
Yeah, Lucy's book. that's in my autobiography section.
You've got that one later on your list under Lucy.
Yeah. Best autobiographies, Lucy's book by Levina Fielding Anderson. It runs parallel columns. The original interview with the first published edition side by side. There is another version in between that does exist. But this has biographies, short biographies of all the players. It's a really important book. Leonard Arrington's autobiography, Adventures of a Church Historian, B.H. Roberts, the autobiography of B.H. Roberts by Gary Bejera, and the Sterling McMurrin interviews with Jack Newell. His section on heresies and criticism was a very important chapter for me. Best philosophy or theology. I came up with my list, but then I tried to talk to other people about their lists and what they would think. For me, it was Rational Theology by John Widsoe, Line Upon Line by Gary Bejera, edited by Gary Bejera, Theological Foundations by Sterling McMurrin, Articles of Faith and by Talmadge, and Mormon Doctrine was on mine because of its influence. But I talked to Brian Birch and had a short discussion with him, and he came up with some of the similar ones with me. Theological Foundations by McMurrin, Articles of Faith by Talmadge. He came up with Exploring Mormon Thought by Blake Osler, Rational Theology by Widsoe, but he made a good point. His was Doctrines of Salvation by Joseph Fielding Smith, which was edited by McConkie, and he said that McConkie's Mormon Doctrine was largely influenced and is a series of quotes from Doctrines of Salvation. It's a good point. Anybody else? Any thoughts?
Autobiography,
Proudly Be Proud.
Early Mormonism and Magic World.
Early Mormonism and Magic Worldview by Mike Quinn. That would be that's on my personal all-time list towards the end.
So, in way of autobiographies.
Autobiographies.
Why wasn't the B.H. Roberts autobiography done in hardback? Signature books.
Now you're asking all the hard questions. I have no idea. It was probably a flippant decision, a last minute decision, and Gary Bejera has tends to be very modest, and that's probably what happened. Any other books on theology? No. Okay. Good. I got those right. Best books vindicated once again. Best books on polygamy. I felt that the best books on... Now, there are lots of other categories. You'll forgive me that I just discussed these, but we do have a time limit. Best books on polygamy, In Sacred Loneliness, Todd Compton, Mormon Polygamy by Richard Van Wagner, Solemn Covenant by Carmen Hardy, which is post-manifesto polygamy, the polygamy that happened between 1890... through the Reed Smoot hearings in 1904, when the second manifesto went on to the third manifesto. It's a very important book, and I saw a copy over at Kurt's shop. Nauvoo Polygamy by George Smith, and The Works of Abraham by Carmen Hardy. A very, very important bibliography on Mormon books. And maybe that should have been in the bibliography section. My exposés is probably my weakest section. I know that people are going to come up with others that obviously better. Mine were Gleanings, by the Way, by Norman Clark, Figures of the Past by Josiah Quincy. I'm going to paraphrase his quote. He's the one that said that of all the 19th century figures, Joseph Smith may be the most influential Mormon character. I think that's an important book. Under the Prophet in Utah by Frank Cannon, Wife Number 19, and my all-time Desert Island number one expose is The Women of Mormonism, edited by Jeannie Frosythe. It has a woodcut in it of a woman chasing a man with a broom, and at the bottom of it says, "Brooming the Bishop." The best temple-related books, Selected Manifestations by David Ray. You should read the inside of the dust jacket. Ray says that this belongs right next to your scriptures, and then he went on to put all of the rest of the book in verses. It's great. It's also a banned book. Mysteries of Godliness by David Berger, House of the Lord by James Talmadge, and then the twin books, Joseph Smith's First Quorum of the Anointed and Nauvoo Endowment Companies by Gary Bezerra and Richard and Devery Anderson.
I don't remember. He's a BYU professor, photography guy, just did a 2-volume set on the temple, packed full of awesome photography and interpretive materials.
What is
Does
it?
Anyone know his name? Or the
Nelson
Brinkerhoff.
Brinkerhoff.
What's the name of the set?
Brinkerhoff.
The Daystar.
Yeah, the Daystar.
The Daystar.
Looks incredible. Just day. Came out, 2 volumes, self-published.
Go get it. I'm running out of time, but there's a fun story about the House of the Lord, how it came about. This guy broke into the temple and took photographs and was trying to blackmail the church. There's 2 editions of the House of the Lord that I recommend. There's the first edition, just because of the historicity, but Signature Books did a version that has the story of how the book came about, and with all the photos, including the photos of the guy who broke into the temple. Scrivy, you should come out and have a look. Sexiest Mormon Book Covers. Tell me I remember to bring it. I did bring it. There is some nudity on the covers, so you can decide for yourself if you want to come up and look at the covers themselves. They are Pemmican by Vardis Fisher, Harem Island by Anthony Sterling, and Joseph McKinley's and the Manacled Mormon, and the Manacled Mormon by a true story by Anthony Delano. That's when it has nudity on it. Women's Studies, Strangers in Paradox, Women in Authority, God the Mother. What's that?
You forgot Worms by Orson Scott Card. It's got that really tawdry
one. Oh, Worms by Orson Scott Card. There's a great Orson Scott Card one that's in Spanish that has all nudity on it.
It's Strangers in Paradox. Yeah. Has a bit of nudity on the cover.
Oh, but it's not sexy. It's Adam and Eve. It's not sexy. Okay, I'm not going to go there. God the Mother by Janice Allred, Pedestals and Podiums by Martha Bradley, and Some of Our Past by Judy Busk. I am cooking my clock here. Let me skip to Will Bagley's because he's here to defend himself.
Skip it or skip to it?
Skip to it. And it's on my bookmark. That's why. True Adventure by Will Bagley. Of course, Abner Blackburn by Will Bagley was his first pick. These are really great. They have true adventure stories of being in Utah, and they're just a hoot. Adventure narrative, Eventful Narratives by Oliver B. Huntington, which has his narrative. The rest of the book is kind of so-so, but that his narrative one of the narratives in there is just killer. 40 Years Among the Indians by Dan Jones, where he calls my great-grandfather Thomas Williams and his band of apostates. It's great. Uncle Nick Among the Shoshones by Elijah Nicholas. That's great because it's this kid that, he's 8 years old. His parents abandon him to watch the sheep, and after sitting there for a month or so, he decides that the Indians that come and offer him a pony is a better deal. So, as I would hope I would do. And then Brigham's Destroying Angel by Bill Hickman. Woohoo! All right. And you're welcome to come up and look at my paper afterwards as well. Best Books by Fundamentalists by Ryan Roos. Truth Magazine, the set. A Late Fern Review by Harvey Allred. Reminiscences of John W. Woolley and Lauren C. Woolley, 5 volumes. The Most Holy Principle by Gilbert A. Fulton. And An Ensign to the Nations, The Collected Works of Ogden Kraut, 6 volumes. Best multi-volume histories or documentaries. Kingdom of the West series by Will Bagley. Early Mormon Documents by Dan Vogel. The Reed Smoot Hearings There's a one volume of it now by Mike Paulos. Faith Morning series in 17 volumes that is now available in paperback. I understand Ebon Books has a big hardback. It's the biggest book I've ever seen. Okay. I want to do my top five large books. I screwed that up. That would have been cool. The biggest Mormon books. That would have been cool. R.L. Lea's books, Joseph Smith III, Pragmatic Prophet by Roddy Lonius, Let Contention Cease by Lonius and Spielman, Latter-day Saints by, Homosexual Saints by Bill Russell, Angel Acronym by Paul Edwards, and Divergent Paths to Restoration by Steve Shields. Those are John Hamer's top picks. And Boyd Peterson's real quick, On the Road to Heaven by Coke Newell, Vernal Promises by Jack Harrell, Bound on Earth by Angela Hallstrom, Angel on the Danube, which I have to agree, the only thing a problem with my Angel on the Danube book is on every other page on the right-hand side there was a blank circle. And I had to figure out what the word said. Use My Imagination, Woohoo! By Alan Mitchell. I love that book, by the way. And Heresies of Nature by Margaret Young. And I agree, that book is a cool book. It was based on a play called Deerstone, is that right?
It was based on a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Okay, just real quick, two more categories and I'll sit down, I promise. Recent influential books, Insider's View of Mormon Origins. These are the books that I think are causing... Okay, these are the books that I think that are impacting Mormonism right now, that are the most influential books of right now. And I'd love to have you guys debate that with me. And that is Insider's View of Mormon Origins by Grant Palmer, Brigham Young and the Massacre of Mountain Meadows by Will Bagley, Joseph Smith, The Making of a Prophet by Dan Vogel, Joseph Smith, Rough Rolling Stone by Richard Bushman, and Losing a Lost Tribe, Native Americans, DNA, and the Mormon Church by Simon Southerton. I think those are the top debated issues books of this decade.
Put the McKay biography on there.
You think? Okay, well, the David O. McKay biography by Greg Prince. Anybody else?
That wasn't very controversial.
Okay.
Influential.
Me and him, we got the same. Okay, Tom Kimball's Desert Island, all-time top five picks. Woohoo! We're at the end of my part. Okay, sorry. Too much caffeine. Early Mormonism, The Magic Worldview by Mike Quinn. Lost Boys by Orson Scott Card. A Descriptive Bibliography of the Mormon Church by Peter Crawley. Thrilling Experiences by Solomon Kimball, which is a family piece. And the second edition of Orrin Porter Rockwell, Man of God, Son of Thunder by my friend Hal Schindler. And I have others. I'd be happy to talk to you afterwards. But I'm really interested in hearing from our panelists. Let me just tell you that I really appreciate Mike Atha and Margaret Blair Young for showing up and helping me out with this.
Sorry, Tom, real quick. Explain why those are your top five. And why are those meaningful to you?
These are personal reasons, for aesthetic reasons, or for the impact that they had. Early Mormonism, Magic Worldview, because, once again, here was a book that, as soon as it came out, everyone in Mormon studies began talking differently. Mormon studies took a right, big left turn. That's what it left. The day that book came out. Lost Boys is my all-time number one Desert Island favorite fiction book. I read the book when I was living in Australia. I was very homesick. And then
you worked me more.
And reading that book was a little... I bought my book in Alice Springs, Australia. I bought it there in the town I was in. And here was a book that was talking about my people. And the book, the end of the book is the only book I've ever cried at the end of. Okay. So there you have it.
That and Charlie, right?
Okay, let me tell you, Jack Whalen. If you want a Jack Whalen book, my top all-time Jack Whalen book is actually Sarah, because it would be banned at Desert Book right now. And then the Descriptive Bibliography, it epitomizes the reason why I came into the book business. It's a beautiful, modest, informative, thoughtful,
brilliant
book. Thrilling Experiences, because that's my family. And Orrin Porter Rockwell, because...
He had long hair.
Because he had long hair. Brutal. Because he wouldn't cut his hair. Thank you very much. Just real quick, Margaret is going to talk to us. She's brilliant and she's interesting, and you're lucky to have you hear from her. And Mike is a conservator and thoughtful and interesting, and he has his own practice. And if you have books that you want that are meaningful to you, you can have Mike make beautiful clamshells for them. Or if you have books that are erect thought meaningful to you, he can do some conservation for you. And you should chat with him afterwards about it.
Okay. First of all, I love Tom Campbell. I'm not sure that I would have done this for anybody else, because I've got my husband's 40th year of high school reunion to go to in just a few hours, and I have to look stellar. This is the time where everybody's supposed to say, "Oh my gosh, Bruce, how did you look out?" So it's going to take a little work.
You just had your 20th, all right?
Thank you. I'm just going to tell a couple of stories before I launch into books. First of all, just looking at the sexiest book covers, Joyce McKinney and the Manacled Missionary, I think only some of us know what that refers to. It's the woman who kidnapped the missionary who she was in love with. And forced her to have sex with her. The thing about Joyce, she used to be Miss World. Well, she had the title. Beautiful young woman. She was in the news just recently. She cloned. What did she clone? Yeah, she cloned a dog. And so I'm looking, and I'm, oh my gosh, Joyce, we didn't give you enough attention back there with the And the other thing I have to talk about is the title of this session, Oh My Heck, because in my understanding, the further south we get in Utah, it's Oh My Hell. And I tried to use that distinctively Mormon Southern Utah phrase in my book, Salvador, and Aspen published that and said, we can't have Oh My Hell when the mother talks. Can you just spell it differently? So I spelled it H-A-Y hyphen E-L-L. Now, left off Lengthen Your Stride by Ed Kimball. And absolutely, you don't just read the book,
right.
Look at the CD. Yeah. Because I really wish I had been a fly on the wall to hear the conversation between what Deseret Book wanted and what Ed wanted. And there's more in the CD than yes.
Little self-promotion here. We are going to publish The Unabridged.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay, major announcement.
Hopefully this year.
Cool. Wonderful. I'm not going to mention any of the books that Tom did because they've already been mentioned. I was talking to my husband and saying I think it's really odd because I haven't really written in 11 years, but I'm doing sessions on Mormon literature, and he said, "Well, didn't you and Darius like write 3 books?" I said, "Oh, yeah, those." and Heresies of Nature came out that time. Oh, yeah. But honestly, writing Standing on the Promises felt a whole lot more like writing academic papers because I had to get historically grounded, and I wasn't. So I really got into some books about some of the late great people of Mormonism, including Spencer W. Kimball's great-grandfather, Edwin Woolley. And what a remarkable man. The biography of Woolley by Arrington, I highly recommend.
It's actually a biography before a columnist.
Is
she wrote it?
But did Arrington, is it Arrington's? I was thinking it was
Arrington. He may have read.
Anyway, I just to get a sense of the, you know, you've got Heber C. Kimball and Edwin Woolley, but it's called a Quaker in Mormonism. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. When we were researching John Taylor, there were two biographies written on John Taylor, one by Samuel Taylor and one by B.H. Roberts. Have I got the name's right. Mm-hmm. And Deseret Book didn't want me to use the Sam Taylor one. So I looked at B.H. Roberts, and it had exactly the same materials. I just made sure that in our citations to do what Deseret Book wanted, that we only use the B.H. Roberts one. I actually blogged on by common consent. After Tom extended this invitation, I invited people to give some that they would recommend. Did you mention Beck Slider?
No, that's a huge error. Well, it was Boyd's list, not mine.
I figured you'd mention Backslider, so I wanted to do the newer stuff. Well, saving some space for you, aren't you?
I find that presumptuous. Anyway, Backslider came in number one with everybody who responded on that blog. And we had, the last I looked, and I haven't looked lately, the last I saw there were 70 plus. And Backslider was, I'm so thankful somebody else mentioned Backslider, or I would have mentioned it. But, you know, if you're doing Levi Peterson, you should do the whole gamut. People hardly pay attention to Greed and Greed anymore, which is really a significant step in Mormon literature. Collection of some really fine writing, including one of Levi's... one of his best, but not his best, I think his best, is coming out in the book that Angela Hallstrom has edited called Dispensation, called Brothers. I think it's the best we've ever seen Levi Peterson. I also think Doug Thayer is at his absolute prime right now with The Treehouse and with Hooligans. Under the Cottonwoods by Douglas Thayer was mentioned as really an important book because... To contextualize it, we were working in the years of Shirley Seeley. And are there descendants of Shirley Seeley here? Okay. But I remember, you know, you're basically, you have a pretty constructed conflict. And the, does that mean I've used that many or I have that many?
You've used that
many. I've used that many. Okay, so I'm clearly not going to be saying as much as others.
Okay.
But you have... this huge dilemma of whether or not the girl's going to marry the guy in the temple. And it tends to be some kind of riff on that. And that's what was coming out, the Mormon romance. And then you have Doug Thayer and Don Marshall doing Rummage Sale, but Doug Thayer coming out with Under the Cottonwoods. And it tells us we can do this. Now, Virginia Sorensen didn't get a mention. She should have. Vardis Fisher, obviously. Maureen Whipple, the Giant Joshua, those are our foundational texts. Did I not mention Virginia Sorensen? Yeah. Okay. But
Bela Petzko.
You know, thank you. Bela got a mention on the blog that I opened up, the one book, and I can't remember the title. What is it? Nothing very important. But that would not apply to the stories. They are very important stories. I think we're talking Mormon fiction. We also need to include Brady Udall, Phyllis Barber, but I would put her in memoir also. And I would say Women's Studies for How I Got Cultured. Mm-hmm. Also put The Year My Son and I Were Born, Catherine Soper, The Mommy and Me, The Mother in Me. I don't have, I'm just trying to think of what books I would have with me. I've mentioned that when I went to Guatemala one of the years, I had Moby Dick, My Scriptures, and Under the Cottonwoods. And honestly, what I would take now hasn't been published yet, but will be in the fall, which would be Dispensation. I am so excited for this anthology. Zarahemla is a new little press, and it's coming out with some very impressive, good work. Marilyn Brown got mentioned, and she rarely does, and she needs to be mentioned more often because she really did remarkable things. Earthkeepers is a book that everybody ought to be familiar with, history of Provo.
Chinchilla Farm, Judith Freeman.
Oh, we didn't mention Judith Freeman. There's so many. There are just so many. Mary Clyde, you know, we've got people now who come from the Mormon tradition, not necessarily writing within it anymore, but often referring back to it. Mary Clyde, who are winning major awards. Paul Rollins, as far as I know, is still LDS, also won the Flannery O'Connor Award. Wonderful fiction collections. I'm trying to think of all of the biographies I read. as Darius and I were doing our books.
Books on minorities?
Yeah, I'm going there right now with my last minute. Neither White Nor Black, which is actually available online, but Newell Brinkhurst is redoing that, I believe. And that's Armin Moss, Lester Bush, and All Abraham's Children, I would say, would be my top two for ethnic studies, Black and White in particular. I'm not aware of studies in the South Seas other than John Groberg's now titled The Other Side of Heaven and The Fire of Faith. But there must be, and I just don't know about them. The ones I tend to know about are about the Black Latter-day Saints. There were a few memoirs during that time. Alan Cherry's, and you can only get this with Kurt because these are all out of print. So you're going to want to drop in on Kurt and take a look at what he's got. But Alan Cherry's, It's You and Me, Lord, Mary Starlitz and Ayers.
Jesse Embry.
What is it?
Jesse Embry's books on
Jesse Embry,
so
I know.
Rebellious.
A Soul So Rebellious for Mary Starlitz. She hadn't married us, so it was Mary Starlitz. Jesse Embry's Black Saints in a White Church.
She did two other minority studies. And
she has just been, again, undercredited as just the worker bee in all of this. So I'm just thinking I know my time's up. I'm aware. If I had one book and dispensation were not going to happen, probably Rough Stone Rolling. I'm afraid that's gonna go on my top. Thanks.
Thank you.
So Tom made me promise that I'd police myself and that I wouldn't take any more than 10 minutes, so I'm 2.5 seconds down. My name's Mike Atha. I really have no knowledge in regards to Mormon books, but I am a bibliophile of the highest order, and I love Mormon books, but mostly as tangible objects. I could care less what's inside, so I'm probably not in good company here, but when Tom called me about 3 hours ago and asked me to do this, so I agreed, and I put together about 70 pounds of books. Tom said, choose your desert top five, and I said, well, I'm throwing everyone else off the boat, and I'm taking all theirs. He gave me three categories to really focus on, and they're probably the three categories that are dearest to me and that I love. So I have about 9 minutes and 13 seconds left. I'm going to do three topics, and the first is beautiful books in the Mormon tradition. And we all know there's lots of beautiful dust jackets, lots of beautiful 19th century leather. Some that come to mind just off the top of my head that most people think of are some of the deluxe versions of the scriptures that were done, deluxe biographies. I love all that stuff, but in this case, I could care less. So I picked a couple that... Can everyone hear me okay if I don't use the microphone?
You may not get recorded, okay.
Oh, I may not get recorded.
You can
pull
up.
You don't think you understand.
I'll come back over. Kurt was gracious enough to bring some of the gems from his private stock and retirement account with him.
The book 401k.
The book 401k. Probably my, and as a bookbinder and a book nut, this is probably my favorite bound book in all of Mormonism. This is a limited edition of Orson F. Whitney's Elias and Epic. They did 150 copies in the full leather. It is probably the most exquisitely bound book that Mormonism's ever seen. It has wide leather turn-ins, 24 karat gold stamped doublures, watered silk doublure, this hideous watered silk free fly leaf that is still beautiful, 24 karat 3-inch gold gilding, hand-sewn end bands, just an absolutely phenomenal bound book. And we have too little of this in Mormonism. You see it a lot in other traditions and other genres. This is probably the best within Mormonism. Four fine leather bindings. Again, out of Kurt's private stock, one of my favorites. Tom mentioned this one. Kurt drools over it. This is Utah, the land of blossoming valleys. I just think it's one of the most beautiful dust jackets. This is an exceptional copy, to your knowledge, Kurt. The only... this, he wouldn't bring the box today. He said, I'm sorry, I can't bring the box. But he has the original publisher's box that this came in. Also a very beautiful presentation. But not only is the dust jacket beautiful, the stamping on it that's done with a blocking press where they have multiple sets of dies and they use a combination of hot stamped gold foil and cold stamped inks and or paints to the cover. It's just an exquisite book. Don't know anything about the content at all. I'm only talking about the content. It could be an absolutely awful book and I wouldn't care because it's beautiful on my shelf. Yeah, okay. 3 minutes and 44 seconds. So I'm going to touch on, in way of 19th century books, I didn't want to leave them out. These are both from the early 1900s. Everyone's probably familiar with The Route from Liverpool to the Great Salt Lake. Beautiful book. Tom told me he wouldn't bring this, but I will. This is the Applewood Press reprint of it because I can't afford the $20,000 for the original. Incredibly beautiful book, beautifully presented, but my favorite are the... there's a series of woodcuts and steel engravings throughout the book that are just absolutely phenomenal. Little plug for Kurt. These are normally $300. They're on sale down at Benchmark Book for $100. So, phenomenally beautiful book. Anyone familiar with Red Butte Press? The letterpress operation out of University of Utah, Kurt is too, has a few of these for sale. Red Butte Press is a local press housed at the University of Utah. They do beautiful letterpress work. They print these on a 19th century Columbia press, which is the most ornate cast iron hand press out there. It's got beautiful gold sculptures coming off of it. This doesn't look all that beautiful because there's not many illustrations, but this is an excerpt from Jules Remy or Remy.
Remy.
Either word. A Journey to Great Salt Lake City in 1855. Red Butte Press has done multiple things with Utah and Mormon interest in them. Beautifully presented, beautifully printed fine press books. Probably
you're okay.
One of my all-time favorites. This is a book that was published by Day Christensen, and it's the Book of Abraham, and Day letterpress printed this on gorgeous paper, and it's the text from the 1844-45 Book of Abraham, published in the Times and Seasons, accompanied by Wayne S. Kimball?
Wayne Kimball.
Wayne Kimball. You related?
Course.
Somewhere.
Heber had 43 wives.
Okay. Makes sense. So, Wayne Kimball is a stone lithographer and does incredible color lithographs, and these are reproductions of some of Wolf Barsh's paintings. All of the books, I think only five were bound in book form, and the rest were in loose signature sets housed in a clamshell box. So this presentation is probably one of my favorite Mormon fine press books out there. So that is my beautiful books, five or so beautiful books. The second area that Tom wanted me to touch on was books. Well, first off, does anybody have beautiful books that they'd like to mention? Any that I haven't? Obviously, I'm kind of biased.
I have my fourth scythe book in the back, and I'll show it to you. It's got the woodcut of the Birmingham the Bishop. It's a lovely piece. So,
the second category are books that should have been books but were never published. I think Tom mentions a couple of those on the bookmark. So I just want to touch on a few. Some of these, I don't know, I always confuse this category with banned books, but they were never published, so they could never be banned. Very important book, Rip Runner's Mormon Parallels. This has since been issued on CD. This is a preliminary copy early on. It's vastly expanded now, I think, to over 2,000 pages. something along those lines, but it's only available on CD, and I think Humacell is the sole distributor of the Mormon Parallels CD. Should have been made a book. A couple that people are probably familiar with that should have been published but were only ever made theses.
Thesis.
I'm not sophisticated. I'm a bookbinder. Rodney Turner's Adam God thesis at the top of my list. I love it. It's good by me. Other books that were never published that were in thesis form. Mark Asher's McGee, Pathway to Prophethood. This was his master's thesis. He's currently working on the Joseph Smith Papers Project. Excellent read. I just remember working with the folklorists that he was under, and they said we could not wait until he graduated because it was such a lengthy project for them. Incredible read. So Pathway to Prophethood by Mark Asher's McGee. I have to mention Andrew E. Hatt's Introduction to Temple Ordinances that wasn't allowed to be published, but it'd all be great, and we'd all love to read it. Lots of these, there's underground copies floating around.
I've actually got typeset.
Really? By what publisher?
Vanity Press.
No, it wasn't.
No? That's right, what? two unpublished Arrington biographies that most people know, Doves and Serpents, never published, possibly will be in the future, who knows, and From Chicken Farm to History, Arrington's life from his birth all the way up to his church history years, both incredible reads. Doves and Serpents was originally three volumes, edited by Levina Fielding Anderson, I believe, and also condensed down to a one-volume version. Then, lastly, a book that still may be published but has not yet been published, one of five ARCs, The Development of Mormon Theology by Charles Harrell. Coford Books was going to publish. They may not now. Have no clue. Excellent read on the development of Mormon theology. What do I got?
Quickly run over your bibliography.
Okay. Probably my favorite area, I'll skim over it, Mormon bibliography, books on books. Probably top five, everyone's familiar with The Flakes, Peter Crawley's wonderful set of books, also on my desert, top five, coming out with volume three soon. There's lots of areas of bibliography that are skimmed over for the true book nerds like myself. This is gold. Going back, you can start early on. You have auction catalogs like Scalawagian. Okay, the Auerbach catalogs and auctions. Those kind of segued over time into some other projects like Chad Flake and Larry Draper's Mormon bibliography. Orrin Schwab, a very small but wonderful Mormon bookseller up in Cache Valley. Did back in the early 90s the Mormon Bibliographic Newsletter. If anyone remembers these, it went through 2 years of publication. Really great resource. Even some people outside of Mormonism published on Mormonism. Douglas McMurtry, who is probably king book nerd of the entire world. The Beginnings of Printing in Utah, and also 38 Mormon Characters, which is a study of the development of the Deseret alphabet. Excellent books. And then often overlooked and underappreciated resources are bookseller catalogs. Kurt nailed me for not bringing his, 780 printed catalogs that he did before the advent of the internet.
The printing press.
Yeah, exactly. More recently, a landmark catalog and one of my favorite books on my bookshelf, Lyndon Cook's F.G. Williams and Company catalog that they did. Phenomenally printed, beautiful, will go down as a landmark piece of bibliographic reference material.
When did that come out?
This was done 2 years ago, 2008, actually just last year. So, great, great catalog. So, and then price guides for the Mormon book collectors. Orrin Schwab, the little bookseller up in Logan, Utah, was probably one of the first people to develop a full-scale price guide. These are really hard to find now. But since then, Brett Eborn has picked up the gamut. This is his first edition. He's now in his third. Everybody's pretty familiar.
I think that edition is the most important of the bunch.
By far.
It's a big
and,
deal.
And has probably the least typos of the other volumes as well. So keep it simple. That's what I think. And then one last quick mention. There are some great things out there, like what Tom's doing today. Top fives, top pick lists. There's Mormon 50, Peter Crawley, notable Mormon books, and then even Richard Saunders has a collectible short list of the 20th century. These are great resources for collectors who are looking for other people's opinions. I know, Kurt, don't worry, I did not forget. Kurt also has.
I didn't say anything.
I saw body language is everything. 50 important Mormon books published in Sunstone, and you also gave a presentation at Sunstone. Excellent article. You can find this online and print it off. So
that was in the only banned issue of Sunstone.
Yeah.
Is there such thing as a banned issue of Sunstone?
Yeah, it's yellow. It's beautiful.
Wow. Okay. So that's my spiel. Sorry, I went over my 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Turn over to Tom.
We have almost 10 minutes left, so if you have any questions, comments, or books that you feel have been left off the list, please come up to the microphone.
I have a 1930 first edition comprehensive history of the church that belonged to my father. Have you ever seen that? Because it's just gorgeous.
It is.
Engravings with onion skin, and then on the front it's... It has these,
the moons and the stars and the earth and all that. Yeah.
So I just wondered if you'd ever seen that, because that's a beautiful Mormon.
I have, and I'm a certifiable B.H. Robertson nut, so I love the comprehensive history of the church. And to my knowledge, Kurt, dust jackets on those were originally issued in plain brown
wrappers, right?
Wrappers.
I didn't know they had dust jackets.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were issued that way. I've seen some that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really beautiful books, though.
A forgotten study that's very, very interesting is George Arbaugh's Revelation in Mormondom. And I got James Wardell's copy. But it chronicles the place of Revelation in all the different restorationist movements. And it also puts forth the Spalding theory, which is its big weakness.
I'm in a jacket, not larger, you know.
They did.
Wow.
I have to mention one that I neglected to mention, but it's really had quite an impact over generations. My dad gave it to me when I was in my teens, Added Upon by Nephi Anderson.
Yeah. Brief comment on I came here from Chicago and spent the entire morning alone on my mentors. Sterling McMurrin, I spent all afternoon in the office of Lowell Binion. We'd been close friends over the years. I knew it was a dumb question to ask, but I put the question to each of these close friends of mine. Is there a singular book in your journey through Mormonism that you've been drawn back to more than any other? And I was amazed that both men gave me the same book's author and title that day. It was out of print, and I went back to Chicago where I was living as school superintendent for some time, and finally found a copy of it on the North Shore bookstore. William Pepperell Montague's Belief Unbound, A Promethean Religion for the Modern Age. They thought that had moved them about as much as any secular book they'd ever encountered.
Yeah.
Wow. What was the title and the author? Promethean.
William Pepperell Montague. He was head of philosophy at Columbia for nearly 40 years and wrote this little book, a thin little book, called Belief Unbound, subtitled A Promethean Religion for the Modern Age, and dedicated, I think it was 52 when he wrote it, and dedicated it to his only son.
Thank you. That's great. Hey, Matt.
I'm appalled that nobody said Charlie by Jack Whalen. on Mormon autobiography, I like.
You know, I read
there's,
it.
There's, you have, I'm sure.
I read Sam too. Yeah. Peppertide. all of them.
There's been some great autobiographies by leaders, but I think some of the best ones are just by normal Mormons, what it means to grow up Mormon. For example, I loved Levi Peterson's recent autobiography,
Scoundrel
by Nature. By yearning a
Scoundrel by Nature.
Scoundrel by Nature was excellent. And A Mormon Mother by Annie Clark Tanner was great. They're great because they were so honest and there's so much candor. You feel like you really knew the people. I'd also suggest a couple other categories. Top five Mormon books written by non-Mormons will be one. And then top five essay collections. I love essay collections. Some that have meant a lot to me. The Line Upon Line essay collection, I think Symmetry did that. The Prophet Puzzle is another one you guys did that was great. I loved Jan Shipp's Sojourner in the Promised Land. That collection of essays was also excellent.
Essays, Personal Voices. Do you have copies of Personal Voices, Kurt?
Oh, no. I mean, well, we might have a used one.
It's out of print. Long out of print, but it's the best during a certain period of time from Dialogue. And Mary Bradford edited. Wonderful collection.
Yep. Good. All right.
Okay.
What's coming, Tom?
It's coming down the road?
Yep.
I don't know. There's a publishing session this afternoon. Maybe come up with some of that.
Well, Margaret, where do you think Mormon literature is going?
I am encouraged right now. If you had asked me 2 months ago, I would not have given the same response. But I'll be doing a session on that tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. I guess this concludes our advertisement for later sessions.